comment at the beginning here that not only do we accept questions, as we mentioned before, if anybody has a subject that they think would be of profit for the brethren to take up in this meeting, that's accepted too, of course. Whatever would be edifying and helpful to us. We had talked last week and the week before about what we would begin to take up beginning this Lord's Day, being talking about these seven world leaders that are going to come on the scene after the Lord takes us home to the Father's house. And this is a subject that was suggested by Bruce, and I think it'll be quite profitable for us. So I wonder, Bruce, if you could outline these seven world leaders and who they might be.
Well, the first one we'll probably look at today is the coming prince, he's called, future leader of the Roman Empire. And then another fellow will be called the little horn or the personal beast. He will be some sort of a dictator that will take over the empire, become its leader halfway through the seven-year tribulation. And then thirdly, the Antichrist, the man of sin. Fourthly, we have the King of the South. Fifth, we'll have the King of the North and his Arab Confederacy. And then Gog, the leader of the Russian hordes and Confederacy. And then lastly, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will become the supreme ruler of the world. There's not a whole lot mentioned as to the first man. The only place we really have any reference to him is in Daniel chapter 9, so maybe we could read a couple of verses there. But before we do, there's another point that I was thinking of on the way here this morning, and that is that each one of these seven men that we are going to speak about are alive today, we believe. Students of prophecy believe that each one of them are alive today simply because we know the prophecy is going to be resumed very shortly because we feel the hope of the Lord's coming. The hope of the Lord's coming is very, very near at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive in glory as a man. And these other men are no doubt in the earth. I do not say that they've been revealed as to who they are. That will take place when the tribulation begins, no doubt. But to be a ruler or a leader of a nation or a confederacy of nations is not going to be a child, of course, so he's probably living at this time, these various ones. Well, in Daniel 9 is where you get the coming prince. Perhaps you could read from verse, just to get the connection, from verse 24 of Daniel 9. But the verse that we're trying to focus on is verse 26 and 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make the end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, or it should be expiation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall even in troublous times. And after 72 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Again, I'll read a little better translation from the latter part of this 27th verse. He'll cause the oblation to cease because of the protection of the abominations. There shall be a desolator, even until the consummation or the consumption, and what is determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Right in the middle of that 26th verse, the prince that shall come. We don't want to go over the subject of Daniel's 70 weeks, but I'm sure everyone has had some briefing on the subject of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Daniel prayed that he might know when the Lord would bring to pass all his promises with regard to Israel. And he said it would be after 70 weeks of years would be accomplished, which would be 490 years. But as we read here, we find that there is an interruption after 69 weeks or 483 years because the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was cut off in death. And things have been suspended for this church period, almost 2,000 years, and there's still yet one last week of years, 7 years, to be accomplished before the promises of God to Israel can be brought in and the kingdom blessing.
We have to say this present period, at the moment, is in the middle of verse 26, and so I shall be cut off.
Now, one objection that might be to this, Bruce, is that, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Could that be likened in any way to 70 A.D.?
I believe so, because the prince, or the people of the prince, is the Roman people who did just that in the Titus in A.D. 70, destroyed the city, the sanctuary, and so on. In fact, just historically speaking, Titus had given his word to his armies, don't burn the temple. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, it's going to be destroyed. Whose word was going to stand? The Roman general had the power over the whole world, which was the prince of the emperor at the time, for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know the story that there was a soldier who either did not hear the word of the general or whatever, threw a flaming arrow or whatever it was into the temple and began on fire, and that led to the destruction of the sanctuary, and the Lord Jesus' word stood. But it is referring to that, but it's also referring, because it goes on in verse 27, and it says that he, as the Roman prince. Of course, it couldn't be the same person, because we're talking about a gap of 2,000 years between the two. So the prince of the Roman people is more of an office. And another man, of course, will come in and fill this place when the Roman Empire will be revived. And he will be the new prince of the Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire.
So are we saying then that verse 26 has actually been fulfilled, and we're now waiting for verse 27? Or what we've talked about here in verse 26 happened in type with Titus, or?
No, I would say that verse 26 has taken place, as Mr. Coleman has said. Okay. You see, what you get in the end of the verse, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, or an overflow of armies and wars and so on, unto the end, war, desolations are determined, is where it should read. And this is really what has happened in this last 2,000 years. There has been overflowing of wars and battles and desolations around the city of Jerusalem. And it's been a very troublous city. But the he in verse 27 is what we're referring to. There is going to be a future leader of this revived Roman Empire. We know the Roman Empire ceased, but the Bible teaches us, it's actually the book of Daniel, that there's going to be a revival of that Roman Empire. And it's going to have a figurehead, the leader, at the top of it. This man is, what we referred to here, is the prince, the coming prince, leader of the revived Roman Empire.
One spoken of in Revelation 13, it comes up out of the sea, does it say? Is that the one he's referring to?
As far as I understand, no, that's a different person.
Oh.
But that person is the one who will come up at the middle of the week And he will continue for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. So it's the he comes up in the middle of the week as the little horn and takes over and will actually rule the kingdom in a satanic way in the last 3.5 years. But this is a fellow that is in the place of being the leader at the beginning of the 7 years, because he confirms the covenant for 1 week.
So this person would rise then at the beginning of the tribulation?
I believe so.
What was your question, Wayne?
Does this person rise up at the beginning of the tribulation? The answer was yes.
When is this Roman Empire going to rise up? That must rise up very quickly.
Well, that's a good point that you raised, because the revived Roman Empire is going to take in the nations of the countries in Western Europe, which is where the Roman Empire had its influence, Italy, Spain, France, and so on. And we can see in Europe now from the news that there has been for some time this planning to make a super state in Europe, where there's going to be a confederacy of nations bind themselves together into one super power. And it looks very much like with the revival of the Roman Empire. There will be some figurehead at the top of it, and after the church leaves, what we have here will take place. And they're going to make a covenant with the many, that's the masses of the Jews, for protection, to protect the Jews. It's very interesting that Richard was telling me in the province just 2 weeks ago that the Russian powers and the United States, the coalition forces and so on, have been putting pressure on the Israelis to give up the Gaza Strip, which would be the area where the Philistines dwell. And they say they're not going to do that at all. But they wouldn't even think about it, they said, at least until the super state that is going to be formed in Europe next year will give them some sort of protection, either by allowing them to join it or by some sort of a contract. Well, the student of Bible prophecy says that I think this is what we have here. It becomes very exciting when you think that Israel is talking about getting some sort of protection from this empire in Europe. And that's exactly what the Bible is telling us is going to happen. I don't say it's a fulfillment of prophecy, because they haven't consummated this contract. In fact, the superstate is not even going yet. They say it won't begin until 1992.
So what is the realm of authority that he will have? Is it political authority, religious authority? Will his influence be felt in this country, in the United States?
Don't know. Perhaps others could answer that. It's a good question, though. I would like to know the answer myself.
Really have nothing in Scripture about the United States, which is considered today as a superpower. Yet we really don't have any reference to that country. But when what you're speaking of now, you're speaking about Western, aren't you? Western side of things. When we speak of the Northern Army, of course, we're speaking of the Middle East there, where we are right now in the war. But I don't know. Sometimes I wonder whether this country like the United States is just going to deteriorate in some way. I don't know. It's not mentioned in Scripture. I believe Kelly writes something about, mentioned their name, not saying what the end would be with them. But I was noticing the first seal is broken. That is after the church has gone home. And then he speaks about a long distance, no fighting, but just like he's spoken of, it's like a bow and arrow, it's a long distance. Darby suggested that is treaties.
Yeah.
Now what you're saying right now sounds like treaties. You know, not come to pass yet, but 92, you see. But the sounds it might be something like that. No bloodshed or anything, just some dealings and treaties being made with nations, this kind of thing. Of course, we know afterward comes the bloodshed. Second horse comes out red. I don't know, I just thought of that.
this coming prince the same as the beast?
I had understood him not to be so. When we speak of the beast is referred to as the super state, as an empire. But then there's going to be this man that will come up in the middle of the week, and he also will be energized by Satan, and he will also be called the beast personally.
So this coming prince then is the head of this structure that is called the beast?
Yeah.
And then later on there will be another man that will come up that will also be called the beast. As far as taking the mark and all those sort of things that we hear, that we see in Scripture, does that take place at this time with this man? Will he be introducing this? Or is that later on?
No. It will be the little horn or the first beast that will introduce those things, and Antichrist, in the latter part of the 7 years, the last 3.5 years. In the first 3.5 years, when this man will confirm the covenant, we have from Revelation 17 that the woman will ride the beast. The woman will ride the beast. You say, what does that mean? Well, if you read the chapter, you can see very clearly that it is the false church entering into the arena of political things and actually getting into a position of controlling the empire at the first. Because the beast is the empire, we mentioned, and the woman is looked at as the false church. She is the harlot. And she will ride the beast, that is, she'll have control over it for the first 3.5 years. And if this man is some sort of a figurehead at the top of it, it has been suggested, and I make this statement only as a suggestion, that he may be of a religious character from that system which we know of as Roman Catholicism. That's only a suggestion. He no doubt will be a Roman person, because we have here the prince of that people, it was the Roman Empire. Whether he will be a cardinal or something like this, or a pope, we could not go that far to say. The scripture doesn't go that far. The woman will ride the beast for half of the 7 years tribulation. And in the middle of the 7 years tribulation, the beast will have had enough of her, and they'll destroy her, throw her off, and then comes up this little horn, this personal beast that will take over in a dictator style with all of the diabolical satanic influences. And it's at that time that these other things that you mentioned will come up.
Is that when Satan is cast out of heaven, is it not?
Yeah, that's why he's able to energize the patient person of the beast, the little horn. He's cast to the earth, and he needs agents to perform his duties. So he will either indwell this fellow or whatever, become his instrument. Now it says in the middle of the 27th verse, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. As his brother Clarence Mundine suggested, that this here, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, may not necessarily be the same person, because we're speaking of an office of one who is in the place of leading the empire. And in the middle of the week, we learn from other scriptures that this other fellow will come up, and there's a dictator. And it is he, as far as we know, which will cause the sacrifices and the oblations of the Jews to cease. And he will bring in a worship of himself and the power, the superpower, through his religious help of the Antichrist, who will be the false prophet at that time, helping him.
So, just clarify this then, this prince that shall come is more of an office. It looks like three people have or will fill that office in these few scriptures.
Yes, it seems to be that way.
That's a help, because we sometimes hung up on persons and try to fit persons into places that they just can't fit.
Right.
But if it's an office, we could say the president back in 1920 did such and such a thing. You say, well, President Bush wasn't even alive then. We're not talking about President Bush, we're talking about the office and the person who held the office at that time.
Right.
And so this is helpful to get that. The prince that shall come then is the office of the one who is the head of the revived Roman Empire, which is the European superpower that's coming.
And that's in keeping with Daniel's writings, because when you get to the 11th chapter, he talks all about the king of the north and the king of the south. And he gives you a history of things that went on for hundreds of years between the king of the north and the king of the south. Now, how could that fellow live that long if it was just one person? It's more the office of the king of the north, the office of the king of the south. And he just goes right on until the end time, which hasn't even happened in the late part of the tribulation, when the king of the north will attack the land of Israel, and the king of the south will be involved. Well, certainly it couldn't have been the person he was originally speaking of way back in the beginning of the chapter, which was back before the time of Christ. So it's in keeping with Daniel's teaching that he speaks of these persons in that way, rather than trying to, as you mentioned, single out an individual person per se.
Now these seven persons, these seven world leaders, they are not seven offices, but they're seven persons.
We have the littlest information on this person that we're speaking of today, the first one. Very little is said about him.
He's always just called a prince, is he not?
Yeah.
Just a prince.
But this covenant, you see, that will be made, the first part of 27th verse, it's made with the many, that is, the mass of the Jews. If we turn over to Isaiah chapter 8, you'll find that the Lord will speak to the remnants, perhaps through prophets among them or whatever, and they will learn that they shouldn't put their hand in with such a thing, but to trust the Lord alone. Verse 8 and 9, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye far countries, and gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake unto me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to them, to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. For he shall be a sanctuary, for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, and for the gin, a trap, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and so on. The point that I understand from this, what I've learned from Mr. Darby in his notes and comments, is that the remnant will not put their hand in with this. They'll be realized that we can't get linked up with this Gentile power. And so it's with the mass, the many, that make this covenant. And then in chapter 28, we find the covenant mentioned again. Isaiah 28, verse 15. Perhaps read from verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall come unto us, not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Verse 18. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then ye shall be trodden down by it. So he's speaking in this 15th verse of the rulers in Jerusalem that have thought a wonderful thing to get into this covenant agreement with the revived Roman Empire. And here they speak of it as a covenant with death and with hell. It's not that the people believe it to be that. They would never get into it if they believed that. But that's what it is in reality, so the prophet speaks of it in that way. And he's saying it's not going to last when the overflowing scourge comes through. The overflowing scourge is a terminology that Isaiah uses for the attack of the king of the north when it will happen.
So they're trusting to the protection from the European superstate to protect them from that. And he's saying that it's not going to work.
That's the having to take that mark of the beast, which is and worship him. That hasn't come in here, has it? You know, when they, which is really idolatry, because they're called upon to worship the beast. Of course, the little remnant won't go for that because they know that's not right to have idolatry. But what you're reading there, is that prior to what to the time when they will be forced upon to take the mark of the beast? And they can't buy or sell just to take that mark?
I don't know. I just had understood it to be speaking in general, that this covenant that is going to be made is not going to work. It's going to be disannulled. It will have no effect when the time comes when you need it. These things that you speak of will come up in the latter part of the week.
I was wondering that.
Yeah. And we know that the overflowing scourge will pass through the land. That's the attack of the king of the north. Mm-hmm. Will take place at the end of the week, which would be at the end of the 7 years.
Well, our time is gone. To be able to recap that verse?
Well, the first coming leader that we've spoken of is the coming, it's called the coming prince. And he will be the figurehead leader of the revived Roman Empire. He will have a place of leading it for at least 2.5 years. The first 2.5 years of the tribulation.